Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you live from the Haunted Studios here in Shingle Springs, California, you're listening to Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio. Studio B. This is John Almada. I'm the host of this program. A little bit worn out from quite a weekend. I spent some time aboard USS Hornet and did some of my docent training. And I'm going to be doing ghost liveaboards on those occasions when the crew of the Hornet needs somebody with paranormal experience to lead groups of people, and I'm going to be doing that in February. They may have me there more frequently, so I did that, and then I got diverted to my friend Spencer's house, Spencer Hughes of Fox Across America. He's a member of my team, and we had a very interesting Saturday night. We did some ghost hunting and actually got run out of a cemetery. There's a long story there. We were just sitting on the outskirts. We were just going to do some EVP off the road and not actually go in. And someone decided they didn't like that and came up and parked behind us and kind of got threatening. And so we ended up in downtown, the downtown area, just of the town out near Roseville, and did some work out that way and did some EVP. And it was fun, and we picked up a few things. So we are here tonight. We're going to be talking with Cherokee Billy, a good friend of mine. She's a clairvoyant psychic, and I'm going to read a little bit about what she says about herself. She says, "I am a clairvoyant psychic who attributes my extraordinary abilities to my parents. My father was a full-blooded Cherokee Indian. However, he was not raised on a reservation. Although he never practiced professionally, he was a gifted clairvoyant. He had enormous insight into people and was able to see into the future. I learned from him as I observed how he analyzed people. My mother, who was a full-blooded Irish, had a great perception of people, and she never practiced as a psychic, but was able to read people naturally and could tell you anything about that particular person. From this heritage, I gained my natural gifts as a clairvoyant psychic. It is because of my Native American heritage that I use the name Cherokee Billy." And so she's been practicing for more than 25 years as a Native American spiritualist and can guide people through various exercises that will help them to reach their spiritual goals, as well as to get the most out of studying spirituality and metaphysics. And she teaches techniques that can help people tap into their higher selves and to get answers from divine spirit. And with that, I believe this may be her on the line. So I'm going to go ahead and pick that up, but I wanted to acknowledge our guests here who are here on Sunday night. We've got Captain James, Dominica More, guests 9069 and 9286. Good to see you. And 9302, and we have Veronica V. And we'll see others come in as things go, but I think we will be taking calls. So I'll find out that with Billy and find out what's going on with her these days. So I hope this is her. Billy, is this you?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I am not Billy. I am Billy's co-host. Billy is very sick, and she wanted me to. My name is Anna, and she was. Let me explain why I'm calling you. I talked to her today, and she started getting sick yesterday afternoon, and it got worse last night. And she thought it was going to get better today, but she is very sick and just has felt like she just could not come onto your show and be the guest that she would like to be. And she's very apologetic for it. But she thought maybe I could come on and just let you know. She didn't want to leave you high and dry. I am her co-host on her radio show, The Sacred Path. I do have some things I can share with you. I am not psychic myself, but she has channeled my mother, and I have, you know, had some experience with working with her and what I've learned with her. And I will be happy, you know, if you would like to, I'd be happy to share anything with you, or if you prefer, and you could wait until another time, because she would like to come to you. She was just very sorry she could not be on your show tonight.
Well, you know, I knew she was doing a radio show. Maybe we could talk a little bit about that and for a few minutes,
sure.
And then and I can always turn the show on a dime. I can make it work, you know, because I do mediumship myself.
Well,
so we could do some of that tonight and make that happen. But how did you come to be working with her? I mean, you know, tell us a little bit about that.
Okay. Well, like I said, my name is Anna. I was a skeptic and still am. You know, I'm still learning. I found her last year, and we began talking and became friends. And she's I've just learned a lot from her. I was reading her blog, and to be honest, I was very skeptical. I've always been interested in spirituality, and as a child, I knew that there was much more than what I was being taught, you know, how you have that feeling. And as I've gotten older, I've had different things happen in my life that, you know, with angels and things that have happened to me that I knew, there was more than, just me there, things that have happened to protect me and various things. I can share those with you. Experiences with my mother when she passed away and before she passed away. Well, anyway, to make a long story short, I'm very skeptical of psychics, but I've always been very interested in ghosts and paranormal, and my daughters and I both are. But last year, I found her, and I began reading her blog and seeing what people would say, and I visited her website, and I thought, you know, maybe she might be the real deal, because I know there are people out there, just like in any profession, that aren't quite what they say they are, if you get what I'm saying.
Yep,
so
you're
right. I talked with her and was reading some testimonials that are on her website from clients that she had, and one thing led to another, and I did ask her to take me on a, she took me on a guided meditation, which was wonderful, and it just opened up and has given me self-confidence, and I guess just an affirmation that there's so much more out there that I knew was there, and so I've been exploring on my own also. But last winter, she decided that she wanted to do another radio show, and we were talking one day, and just out of the blue, she said, I would like for you to co-host, and it just took me aback, because I am a retired teacher, but never on a radio show or anything like that. And she said, oh, yes, I just need someone there, you know, to help me, just kind of be there. She laughs and says, she's Johnny and I'm Ed McMahon. So that's our relationship there. But anyway, it's developed, and it's been a fantastic journey for me. It has, I just cannot describe what things have opened up for me and how I just view the world so differently after listening to her and her experiences, and also continuing on my own reading and exploring myself. But that's how I came to be with her on the radio show. And it's a fun ride. It really is. I really enjoy it.
I'll tell you what, it's a real similar thing to what we've been through. I mean, I'm a computer scientist, and yet I do all this, and I've been, you know, slowly led towards the mediumship angle, and doing psychic work and being able to just take this one step at a time and actually go on the journey with the audience here and do these things, and make mistakes and fall off flat on your face, and also have these incredible hits and the things that happen here. It's a neat thing, and Billy, she just is, you know, awesome. I've had her on once before and really had a great time with her, and she really knows her stuff, and I'm so sorry she's sick. I mean, I knew she's been kind of ill you know, off and on. But, to give her my best and say, yeah, any time, because we definitely want her back. And, you know, but, having you on the show with her, I mean, the thing that comes to mind, you're talking about this journey that you're going through. What has changed for you from the skeptical side, and what things are you working on?
Well, let me say this. You mentioned you're a computer scientist. I'm a scientist. I was a science teacher for many, many years. And so I have no problem. I'm also very rooted in my faith. I am Christian, but, I have that. I'm very strong in my faith, and I've never had a problem with bringing the two together. I taught sixth grade science for many, many years, including space and life science, the living body and cells and atoms, and looking at geophysics world and looking at geology. So I'm a scientist also, and have always been interested in science. And I'm a product of the space generation, because I think of October Sky, I was one of those little kids that would look up and watch Sputnik go across. So, I've grown up with all of that. And it has just really, talking to Billy, she's opened the doors for so many things, because she is the real thing, you know. But I have always, like, I watched Jean Dixon. I would listen to her when I was a little girl, you know, on TV, and read what she'd have to write in the paper. I've always been interested in ghosts and in paranormal activity. My daughters and I, they're both grown now, but we always watched the shows. And I did listen to your show, of course, when she was on, and it was just very interesting, and hearing about the EVPs and all of the experiences that you have. It's just... She is the real, this is a cliche, I guess, but the real deal. She is, and she's a very caring person, and she's such a gifted person. I've got something to share with you. I was talking with her tonight, and said, what would you like for me to talk on the show about if John wants me to, you know, to be there for you? Because I am no way replacing Cherokee Billy. I'm just her substitute right now, and so that when she feels better and you can work out a time, I'm sure she would like to come in, and your audience would like to hear her. But I would like to share something with you that she's been working on. I think that your audience might be interested in hearing.
Okay.
It has to do with the CSI case. If this is the direction that you'd like to go right now, then we can go from there.
Sure.
But and actually, it was on the mother was on her radio show, I think, a couple of weeks ago. Her shows are archived if anyone would like to listen to them. And it's called The Sacred Path on Blog Talk. But and I was listening to it again to review, to make my notes to come on the air tonight if that worked out. In February of 2009, this mother, her client, who was not a client at the time, but I got a phone call from the police and asked if she knew where her son was. And her son's name is Aaron. And she said, no, he lives in his own apartment. He doesn't live here. She kept getting calls, and finally her children called her and said that, Mom, we're on our way. To make it short, because I can't go into all the details that she did, is that her son, it was on the news, had committed suicide by a self-inflicted wound to the head with a pump shotgun. And, of course, she was just devastated. I mean, you know, and I'm a mother myself, and any mom or any parent or anyone, that would just be heartbreaking news, first for your child to be dead, secondly, to think that they had taken their own life. You know, then you wonder, what did I do? Why couldn't I see what was happening? Well, the mom, and her name is Norma. I don't think she will mind, because she came on the show and shared her story with Billy's audience. Of course, she went to see her son, had identified, but they could not see her. She could see his arm. They wouldn't let her see his face because it was too, you know, bad. And so she just still was just devastated. And she got to thinking, and she wanted to see his truck because they said that he had taken his wife in his truck. So they go to the police station to where the truck is impounded, and they had done all their tests, and they had released it. And so the children didn't want her to go up to the truck because of what she might see. With someone committing suicide in the truck, you can imagine the splatters and things. She said, no, she's my son. I'm going. So she went, and she went to the cab of the truck. There was nothing there. There were no blood splatters. There was nothing that you are, or any sort of tissue or anything that you would think would be there. But they took the truck. They had to tow it home, and they live out in the country, so the truck was out there. She still was just puzzled. She just, you know, had that gnawing feeling. She was just puzzled. So she was sitting out there in the cold, looking at the truck, praying, what am I missing? Show me what is I missing. And her eyes moved to one of the wheel wells. And she looked at one of the wheel wells. I don't know if she got up to see. I don't know how close she was to it. But she saw on the wheel well underneath, you know, underneath where the wheel is there on the car, on the truck, she saw splatters of blood. And she saw tissue. She saw human matter there. And she began to think, my son did not commit suicide. Also, the day before he had supposedly committed suicide, she had seen him. And he was fine. He was happy. You know, she called him she called him her good son, whatever, you know. But he was just a good person and had no signs of being distraught or depressed or anything. Well, when she saw that, when she saw the blood splatters and she saw the brain tissue or the tissue there on the well, she went in, she said, I'm very skeptical. I do not believe in psychics. But she said, I felt like that I had to find out what had happened. I needed to look further of resources that she didn't, you know, have. But she was still very skeptical. So she went online and typed in psychic, and of course you have so many of them that pop up. And she said she looked, and she, for some reason, selected Cherokee Billy. So she called Billy, and she said, I called her 3 times, and I hung up 3 times. Because she was still just, you know, this is crazy. I'm just skeptical. This won't work. But Billy called her back. Well, anyway, she did, and Billy got some amazing stuff. Because based on what Billy found through channeling her son, Aaron, from his mother's call, from Norma's call to her, Billy got a lot of information. And she got enough to give to Norma so that Norma hired a CSI detective. And so for a year, they've been investigating this case. And so it is now going to court. And a few weeks ago, Norma wanted Billy to channel Aaron again, and she did, and got some more information. And Billy was very careful. They didn't want to share so much because it is an ongoing case right now. But everything that Billy found that she told her from that first channeling back over a year ago, that has come true. Those were things that were found that she had told him, and that she, one thing that they did say that I can say, that he was not shot with a pump shotgun. He was shot with a .45 execution style, and it was a random act of violence. But they did put him back into his truck, however, and drove the truck to the place where they wanted him to be found, different to where he was actually murdered, the murder scene. But everything that Billy told Norma was true. The investigators proved it as such, and they're bringing it to court. I will tell you one thing. Do you remember the Monkees, the singing group, the Monkees, from many years ago? The Monkees? Maybe you're too young for that. Okay, well, I grew up in the 60s, so if people grew up in the 60s, they're going to remember the Monkees. The reason I say that is because Billy said the second time she channeled him a few weeks ago that she asked Norma, she said, did he like the Monkees? And Norma said, I don't know, because Billy kept hearing one song she kept hearing one song. It's a song that kind of the most obscure song the monkeys sang. It's called "The Door into Summer." So Norma asked her son, her other son, she said, did Aaron like the monkeys? They said, yeah, he liked them when he was, you know, young, growing up. He liked them. And what Aaron is doing is that there were two people involved in his murder, and he could tell them so much, tell his mom so much through Billy about what happened that he could remember up until a point. But there were two people involved, and he said that one person does have a conscience. Another person does not and is not remorseful. The person who does have the conscience, Aaron, is singing this song, this man, singing in this man's soul this song, "The Door into Summer," because it's a song about greed and lust and wealth and death. And so he's trying to help this man turn around what he's doing. But I just thought that was the coolest thing. I mean, you read about this on, you know, you see movies and TV shows, but this is something that Billy has actually been helping to work on. And so I know I've been talking. If you have any comments or anything you'd like to say of what I just relayed to you from Norma's story that Billy said I could share.
It's, you know, I've done myself a couple of criminal call-ins, you know, myself, and you know they're usually handled very privately. So you know exactly as you know what you know Billy is done in this particular case, and then there's elements you can share, and there's things you can't talk about. Uh-huh. And that is how it works. I mean, it's amazing how a spirit will come through to a medium and be able to do these things and share just enough to get the point across. But, you know, the thing is, it sounds like, you know, he as a spirit is not out to get revenge, but he's just worried about, you know, the people left behind and then other possible victims, you know, is an act of violence. That's the observation I get from it. And he seems very okay with his situation. You know, if it was quick for him, that would be my read on it. But it's always disturbing, you know, to hear of cases like this where people just are going about, one minute they're here, the next thing they're gone, and the police don't even want to look into it. It's just, oh, yeah, okay, you know, he ended it. Well, you know, the mother, you know, looking at that, they were in too big of a hurry to process the case, and you got to wonder why, you know.
Right.
That stinks, I mean, to me. I mean, just in the whole you know, scheme bit here. I mean, why would the police not do it? And is that the case? Is that the reason for the court aspect? As the police didn't really
take it to the next level. I'm sorry, I'm talking over you. I'm sorry. She hired a private investigator. To do the investigation, and it will be. I don't know all the details, but it will be interesting to see what comes of it. And they did investigate for a year. But it is going to court, and she wasn't sure of the court date or when it will go to court. But it's going to be interesting to see the outcome of what happens, because obviously they have enough evidence to bring it to court. And it will be, and with you having worked on cases like that before, you're very familiar with it. Me, I just, from what I see on TV. But, well, we're always interested in the cold case files and those type shows. We've always been interested in mysteries, my husband, myself, my children. But I just think it's going to be very interesting to see the outcome. I would like to share one thing with you to bring this part to a close, kind of a happy ending, if you will, because he is happy where he is just wants it not to happen to other people. His mom was still, you know, still sad, and even though she knows where he is and is beginning to find out what happened to him. And so she asked Billy to take her on a guided meditation, which Billy does. And she was able to take Norma into spirit, and Norma was able to meet with her son. And when Billy does that, she doesn't talk. She steps away as they're talking, because she takes you in and to protect you and to guide you, as she's your guide. And Norma and her son, and Norma talked about this, and she said, I was skeptical. She said, I didn't think Billy could do that. You know, she said she could, but you know it is. It's different. I mean, it's very strange, and it's not something we normally think of here unless you are familiar with it. But she trusted Billy, and Billy took her, and Norma had a very nice visit with her son. And she shared this, Norma did, when she was on Billy's show, so I'm sure it's okay for me to tell you. But she said that they had a very nice talk and very nice conversation, and he told her some things and said, I love you, and that when it's your time to pass in the spirit, he said, I'll be there for you. And so she was very comforted by all of this. And after it was done, it takes about an hour for a guided meditation. After it was done and they were done with their conversations, Billy brought her back, and Norma said she was at peace. She was finally at peace and had was just very comforted. So that's kind of a nice ending there, and that part of it. But it will be interesting to see what happens with the case as it comes plays out, however it's going to play out.
Well,
but I want to share that with you.
I really, this happens so often in these type of cases where you have a spirit who's passed in a violent manner or suddenly and didn't have time to do the goodbyes and the people left behind. And that's the neat part of this, is when you can connect the people and bring them through and do the part of bringing the peace to these folks. It's the first time I've heard of a spirit, however, using a song to actually go kind of appeal to one of the people with a conscience, and the thing is, I'm looking at the lyrics here. It says here, with a fool's gold stacked up all around him from a killing in the market on the war, the children left King Midas there as they found him in his counting houses where nothing counts but more. Choruses, and he thought he heard the echo of a penny whistle band and the laughter from a distant caravan and the brightly painted line of circus wagons in the sand, fading through the door of summer. Well, it's travel on to maybe next year places as a trade-in for a name upon the door, and he pays for every year he cannot buy back with his tears as he finds out there's been no one keeping score. Wow. That's,
I know.
Yeah. That'll get right into that guy's soul.
They're pretty heavy. Yeah. And The Door to Summer is a song that is, as Billy said, it's obscure. And I don't know if this is what you know about Billy or not, but she knows music. She knows all kinds of music. And she loved the Monkees too. I'm just a couple of years younger than she is, and so I grew up with the Monkees. This is interesting about the Monkees. You know, I've read about spirits that, and reading more, that they try to communicate in any way that they can. And sometimes they choose a medium or something that they remember or that they or is important to them. And like this song, the music, the Monkees, it seems, what he told Billy was that he had always wanted to be a Monkee, that they were funny, they were, you know, their show was funny, their music, now that song isn't funny, but he liked to make people happy, and that's what he wanted to do, and so the Monkees were a happy time for him. He wanted to be one of them. And so evidently that music, that's something that's important to him, and that's the way that he's trying to get his message across to that person. And, I'm just amazed at the whole thing. I'll be interested in how it turns out. But yeah, those lyrics are pretty heavy. They really are.
I think he sees something in this person who is, oh God, I'm laughing over Sasquatch spirit just about that. It's just amazing to see a spirit do that to get to someone's conscience that way. And he obviously sees something. He's trying to help with this guy. So this son is an amazing person. you know, just on the face of it without reading him or doing anything like that, you know, because I'm a little too tired to do mediumship right off the bat here right now. But, you know, because I was sitting there thinking, oh, Billy Pickerman, I don't have to do anything. And then I had this nagging feeling of going, something isn't right tonight. And I don't know what it is, but.
And now you know.
Yeah, but I know she's had her challenges, and we do have a caller, by the way, so that wants to talk with you, Anna.
Oh,
so,
okay.
We will do that, and my friend Sasquatch Spirit is, I think that's the one who wants to talk, but I'll have him on in just a second. It's just striking to me how well she does what she does. And
she is amazing, and she's very caring. She's very honest. I did not say this part in their first in the first channeling when Billy channeled Aaron for his mom. Aaron did tell Billy some things that Billy did not tell Norma because she thought it would be too hard for her to take at that point. And do you know that first time? And so she does use that discretion, and she shared that with me before. It's not to hold things back, she sees things and she's told things and has sensed things that, you know, we are human and sometimes. And sometimes that person is not at the place they need to be to receive that information at that time. She is a very caring person and very gifted. I feel blessed to have met her, and I cannot explain how my life has changed so much. Just, you don't see it outwardly, but inwardly for me it has, and just my whole perspective of things are very different now. The way I look at the world and beyond. That's all I can say at this point.
You know, both our science backgrounds, and, I grew up in the American Space Program. I had actual project paperclip scientists from Nazi Germany who would actually come to the house for dinner. I mean, these are some of the Germans that came back to America.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the founders of a lot of the space industries and stuff to dinner at the house. And, you know, I grew up all around that, surrounded by that. And so, you know, outer space has been my career. And
beautiful.
I find myself, you know, moving into inner space. And that's what this is.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we do in the paranormal world. It's you're journeying inside so often. And there's so much that, you know, when you start to explore that part of yourself and you find out that that your mind and the experiences you have are, you know, really, yeah, that's where the action is. I mean, space is interesting, and, you know, don't get me wrong, I'd go up in a heartbeat if I get a seat on a shuttle. But it's amazing what you could do with meditation. It's amazing what you could do when you ask spirit that, you know, say you want to work with them, and they come busting through, and some of the things that occur, you know, and your journey, I just predict for you, is going to be quite interesting, and
Well,
you've got a lot of surprises ahead of you. Let's just say that.
Well, as I said, I have, it's hard for me to put it into words because the feelings that I have inside of me and the questions that I've had inside of me, I've had ever since I was a little girl, and everything is making so much sense now. It makes so much more sense. It's like, oh, because I've done a lot of reading too, and I look at people differently. I look at my life differently because I've been reading about, you know, past lives and soul contracts and how we all fit together. And in fact, about 16, 17 years ago when my mother almost passed away from cancer treatments, and then she did die about 3 years later from lymphoma. She was laying there taking blood transfusions, and I read a book by a lady named Betty Eady, because I'd always been interested in near-death experiences and out-of-body experiences. I've never had any myself, but I've read about them and learned about them and believed that those could happen and other experiences. And I read her book that she had written about her experience. And It talked about Spirit, that her visit of where, you know, it is more real than here. You have mountains and you have water and you have animals and you have buildings. In fact, there are people there. In fact, with my mother, I talked to my mother and I asked my mother, I said, well, what's my dad doing? Because both my parents had passed away when Billy channeled my mom for me, because I had not wanted to, never want, after I knew Billy could do this and believed in her and that it was possible, I've never had a desire to talk to my mother. My mother's been gone 15 years. I love her very dearly, but I'd said my goodbyes. But one day, I woke up and in my spirit, because I feel things in my spirit. I say I'm not psychic. I can't channel. I can't tell things to other people, but I can sense things. I always have in my spirit. And my mother would do that too. But it's just something for me. I knew that the man that I married, that became my husband, that I would marry him a year before I ever met him. I was told that when I, in my head. I know I don't share that very often. People think I was crazy, but I know it's not crazy now. I know that was Spirit showing me what was my future going to be. But I asked my mom, I said, well, what's my dad doing? She said, well, your dad, and my father was a farmer. And she said, he is showing people, teaching people how to grow things, teaching, and this is in spirit. People have jobs in spirit. And it's just, as I said, John, there is so much out there. I know it sounds weird, but it's so much out there. I've been learning about the angels, and I'm getting a closer relationship with them, and it's just wonderful. I mean, and quantum physics, physics and energy and vibrations and all of those, you being a scientist, it just all just makes so much sense to me now. Everything does. And so I know I'm in for a crazy ride, and I'm looking forward to it and all that I'm going to be learning and have learned so far. It's just amazing. I could go on forever, but I'll stop here.
Well, you know, we have a question here. I'm going to bring on what I believe it's Thomas here. I'm going to go ahead and bring him on. He wanted to ask you a question, so I'm going to bring him on.
Okay. I will try to answer.
I'll try to get the computer to. There we go. All right. Hey, Thomas, are you with us?
I don't know. Am I?
Oh, my friend. Good to see you. How are you doing, man?
Oh, if I was any better, I'd be a butter maker.
Hi, Thomas.
Hi. I didn't Hello? Catch your name.
My name is Anna.
Hi, Anna. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing okay. I'm hanging in there. I was curious. Billy is her name?
Yes, her name. Her name is Cherokee Billy because she's very proud of her Native American heritage. Her father was full-blooded Cherokee, and so she is. She uses that as her name, Cherokee Billy. That's what she goes by.
Okay, all right. I'm just a little over 8 Cherokee myself.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. I was just wondering if she's ever said anything about. If her ability, she attributes what happens to her to the fact that she's part Cherokee.
Yes, she does.
Okay.
Yes, she does. Her father, as I said, was full-blooded Cherokee. And even though he was not, he did not practice his clairvoyance, he could read people and in his business, he was able to, you know, to use that for him, even though he didn't use it the way she uses it to help others and that way, her clairvoyance. But that's where she got it from, yes, and that is why she knows that is why she's able to be so attuned into spirit, because of her heritage, her Native American heritage.
Yeah. I've had strange things happen to me just about all my life, and I'm starting to have to look at the fact that it's my Cherokee side that's causing a lot of these things to happen. So I was very curious about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure she would be glad to talk to you, you know, and but yes, you know, she attributes that to it. And her mother, was Irish, but she also was had psychic ability, so she got it on both sides.
Okay. So it sounds like she's had a very eventful life.
Mm-hmm. She has. She was a practicing naturopathic doctor for 20 years, and she also studied metaphysics for, I think it was, about 6 or 7 years. But she's been practicing clairvoyance and medical physical studies and conducting classes. She does conduct one-on-one classes in various topics. She's been doing this for 25 years and has had a wealth of experience of what she does. And I'll ask her, I said, well, how did you know that, or how did you feel that? She said, I don't know. She said, I've never really just sat down and studied and learned. She said, it just comes to me. I think that's called claircognizance. I've learned about the different clairs. There's clairvoyance, clairaudience, clairsentience, and claircognizance. It's just knowing. But nobody ever taught her. It's just that she did study some, but she is just naturally gifted with those abilities. And anyway, that she's just very gifted with that.
You know, I can relate to what you're saying, because I had experience with autistic children earlier this year where I was telepathically communicating with them.
Oh, and awesome.
I was getting that validated by adult women on the phone who were, you know, validating everything I was getting from the autistic children. I hear myself. Every time I hear myself telepathically communicating with them. I was getting that validated by adult women on the phone who were... John must have reset on his Blog Talk Radio or something. I don't know. Anyway.
I don't know. Anyway,
I'm trying to find the answer to that. I'm looking at my board, and it's not me. So I'm not sure.
I didn't know if I clicked something. I'm looking, but I don't think I clicked anything. So anyway, that's awesome, working with autistic children. It really is.
Yeah. And that's just one of the experiences I've had over the last few years. So I don't shy away from it or run from it. It's like, oh, okay. Well, that happened. Time to go eat. You know,
mm-hmm. Well, things. You know, I think things happen to us, like when we are at certain ages, you know, maybe when you were younger, that may not have been the appropriate time for that to come to fruition for you. But I don't know your age, and so I know for me, my mother told me, I asked her, and I don't know if you heard or not, but when Billy channeled my mom for me, I said, I'm a teacher. I'm a retired teacher. I've retired after 26 years teaching. But I felt like that God and our great spirit, or what everybody wants to call him, I call him God, Heavenly Father, that it was, he provided for me, he wanted me to go into teaching, and I did. I looked at it as a calling, and then it was time for me to leave, and he provided a way for me to leave, and so I did, but I knew he wasn't finished. And I asked my mom, I said, what will I be doing? And she said, well, everything that you have been doing up until this time that you are going is preparing you for what you will be for the rest of your work. Because I think we all have a purpose here on earth. We're here to learn. We're here to learn lessons. We are here to grow and to grow spiritually. And the more that we know about spirit, I've read this in many different places, the more that we know about spirit, that it's nothing to fear, the more that we know about it, when it's our time to pass into spirit, the quicker our transition will be. And it's nothing to fear. And so it's, I think things happen to us when it's time to. So maybe it was time for that to happen to you and the things that are happening to you. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, does that make sense?
Oh, yes, it does. And I just have to say the weirdest experience I've had was last year, because it happened in public. It didn't happen in privacy or out in the woods or anything like that. It was in public. I was at a Pizza Hut, and there was a four-year-old boy sitting next to me, and he was the son of a Sioux Indian woman that was waitressing there. And he was jabbering and doing his usual four-year-old stuff, and I couldn't hardly understand him. And he put his hand on my forearm and looked at me. When I looked at him, he had a big smile on his face.
Mm-hmm.
And he said in perfect English, "I knew you when you were smaller than I am now."
Oh, you just gave me chills.
I know.
Yes.
It was just, I was sitting there going, and I tapped him on the shoulder, and I said, "What did you just say?" He said, "Oh, orange is my favorite crayon." I'm like, this child doesn't even remember what he just said to me.
No. Have you read about that? Have you read about past lives? Have you read about that?
Yeah, I know. I've been able to see some of my past lives, and but yeah, I was looking at this child trying to figure out what soul he was. You know, I came home and looked at one of my uncles when he was a kid, and he's almost a splitting image for my uncle.
Oh wow! Oh yes, that see, those are things that I'm learning that are just it's just amazing, and. That is simply amazing. And see, children, when they're that age, they still remember, you know, but as they get older, or you know, we tell kids when they're playing or when they're saying things like that, so much in the West and the East, not so much in the Eastern cultures, like in India and in the Eastern cultures, but in the Western cultures, we say, you know, oh, that's just your imagination, don't pay any attention. But what you had, that experience you had, Thomas, that's awesome. That just made chills go over me when you said that. That is. It's amazing.
Well, it was a little disturbing for me, but at least it was a lot more pleasant than when I got struck by lightning. So.
Oh, wow. And you survived? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I was 23 years old and got hit by lightning and thrown across the room. I was sitting in the house and got hit by lightning, so that was fun.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Thank you, John, for taking my call. And Anna, thank you for talking with me. I won't take up any more time. But
well, Thomas, Cherokee Billy would be happy to talk with you. Do you mind if I give her her web address, John? Do you mind if I do that?
Oh, absolutely not. I've already been sharing it with the audience, you know, the www.cherokeebilly.com.
Correct. And it's B-I-L-L-I-E, right?
Right. Yep. Got it right
okay.
here. I'll repaste it so you see that there, Thomas. It's here it comes. And you can just snag that and pop it up there. And, yeah, I recommend you give her a call, too. She's been on once before, and she's just awesome. There's no other word.
She also does past life regressions. She does that, too. And she does everything. She really does. So it's she's an amazing lady. Thomas, good luck to you and your journey.
Oh, thank you very much. And thank you, John, for taking my call.
Hey, bye-bye. No problem. And I'm going to give you a call. I've been remiss in calling you about your show. So I have not forgotten. And I've got your number here. So I'll give you a yell.
All right. Thanks. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Okay. Hey, take care. Well, that's amazing. I mean, to have a child do that and just reach out, it's like part of their super consciousness kind of overrode the child and said, "Oh, yeah, I knew you." And I put stories like that off and on, and you just go, "What the? How does that work?" You know?
We did a show back when she was on a different station, back, I believe it was in March, on past lives. And I did a lot of research on it because I was just you know, so interested in that. And there are a lot of cases, especially, as I said, most of them are documented in India. There was a doctor with the Edgar Cayce Institute. I can't think of his name right now, but he was with Edgar Cayce Institute. University of Virginia is where he was, where he documented, over 1,000 cases of children who were talking about, this is in India, because as I said, in the Western world, in our culture, we, you know, with kids are talking or they're playing with their friends, we'll say it's their imaginary friends, it's just, you know, their imagination. But you know what, John? Imagination is how we can communicate with spirit. It's through our imagination. And But in India, children, back to this, in India, children are encouraged when they're little because their memories are still there. As they get older, the memories fade because of all the layers that we accumulate. But there were some cases. One is Ravi Shankar. I did not know who he was, and Billy told me he was born. He's a sitar player. In fact, he taught George Harrison of the Beatles how to play the sitar. And Billy told me that. But Ravi Shankar, when he was born, around his neck was a scar. And as it turns out, in his previous life, he had been, and I forget how they investigated it, he had been, his throat had been cut in his earlier life as a child. So when he was born, again, into this, reincarnated again, he had that scar around his neck. There's a case of a documented case of a child in India. This doctor investigated. And again, I can't remember his name. I've got stacks of papers over here in my file, but I don't have it with me. But it's just awesome. You can do a search and you'll find it. But there's one where this girl, this young girl, she's four or five, she said, I want to go home. This is not my home. I want to go to my husband. I have children. She was talking about all of this. And so they eventually took her into the next village. And this village was like several miles away, and they took her. And she found the man who had been her husband. She had died, I think, in childbirth, had found man who had been her husband. And the kicker was there had been, I believe, some money buried in the corner of where they lived. And this child, this young child, went to that corner where it was and dug it up. But there are so many cases that are documented of past life, of people that are of reincarnation. And we come here to learn lessons and to finish our lessons, and that's again how our spirit grows. But it's just phenomenal. Of course, I know it sounds really off the wall, but I think there's so much that we don't know, and that was just awesome what he said.
I absolutely believe that it does happen. I've just seen too many cases of just in the printed literature, and I haven't seen it so much in my own personal experience with family. But
me either. Mm-mm.
But in my own case though, I do remember. Except for myself, I remember at 5 years old, I began having my own personal paranormal experiences. I started actually seeing what I called the sparkles, and I would see these. And I live in Northern California, and I lived in the town of Roseville as a child. And later on, I found out that the area we were living in was right on top of old Indian hunting and burial grounds. And and what ended up happening to me was I would actually play with these, and they actually played. It was it was a very strange thing, and I've never gotten quite past that. At that age, I remember like I was between five and 6 years old, and I was having these experiences. And I don't remember the prior life. I've done a past life regression, and it was oddly enough an Indian life. So and it would have been what I believe in the California area. So it was strange to have these experiences, but I do believe that that's what happens with us. That we do as soul groups move. Live and then ultimately die in various stages, and then meet back up, and eventually we reincarnate as a group again. And we each take different roles and try. It's almost like theater, we each come back to learn a different thing, and it's just it's powerful and amazing and kind of weird at the same time,
I think Shakespeare. I can't quote him exactly, but all the world is a stage. We're all players on it, and I've come to think, I know that's the way it is. That we are here to learn and to evolve, and we play different roles. I know Dr. Edgar Cayce. He did a lot of past life regressions. Again, in our show that we did with Billy was on past lives. And she's, I forget how many, when she was going through school years ago, medical physical school, they, you know, would do different exercises. And I forget how many past lives she was in that she was able to be regressed back to. But one of them was, I forget, maybe 1,000 years ago, that she was a general. I mean, because you don't always, we have male and female, male and feminine energies, both male and female on earth, but in spirit, you know, you're just spirit. And again, it's like we're actors and actresses here on the stage to learn these different lessons. But she was a general in, I think, in the Middle East in an army. And then there have been different things that she has been. One time she was, I think, I don't know if she talked about it with you or not, but on the show before, but I think one time, I think it was like in the Middle Ages, about 400 years ago, I think it was in England, she was like a Merlin type person, an alchemist, and she would work with animals and worked with alchemy and worked with medicines, and she lived away from people, but she would go in to help people. And she's with one of her husbands, he was a part of that regression also, but he, of course, was not the husband at the time, but their relationship, when she's on the show again, ask her about it, because it's fascinating what she tells you. But we do, we come back in our soul families and our soul groups as different roles. And I know that it's hard to wrap your mind around, but once you do, it makes sense, and you look at things differently. So,
You know, you talked about the scar, you know, on that that one child, and I have had a peculiar horror and a fascination at the same time with knives and swords, and I actually collect them. But for the longest time, I was actually very skittish with them. I would be around swords, and I just could hardly stand to be around them. And finally, it became a fascination because I've collected many different types of weapons and find them just they're very beautiful, just in the way the artwork is done, and different cultures do, you know, build their swords and their knives in very different ways. And so I've got a fairly significant collection of these different things. And some are, you know, ancient reproductions. Others are, you know, just fantasy type, you know, weapons that, you know, people just imagine, movie prop type things. I've got one next to me. I've actually got Godric Gryffindor's sword right next to me here in the studio.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I've got it sitting here. It's like, yeah, it's an inspiration for the show. But, when I did my past life regression, it turned out that I had died through a spear. I'd actually died in battle, in a war. Scenario between two tribes, and there were no white people involved at all. It was intertribal warfare of territory and resource, and we got into it, and I took it. You know, I was just a foot soldier, and there was no, you know, it wasn't me being some famous person. I wasn't surprised at that. It just seemed to me after and it was funny. The regression was. To me, it felt like 15 minutes. I'd done under 2 hours when I came out of it. And you feel very relaxed, it's very enlightening. It explained a lot. And it's funny because before that reading, actually, the more I think about it, but before the reading, I had the horror of it. And then afterwards, I began to collect these things, and I essentially lost my fear of them, but I'm still a little, you know, I respect them. You know, it's not a great way to go when you get stabbed like that. And they actually have a whole spear go through you, you know, and actually, you know, close in combat. It's funny because on my, just on the center of my chest, I have an area that's a little odd. just at the, right between the breastplates. And, it's actually the cartilage area, and it's a little bit off. It's like it's been, sprung or something. And, when you talk about that, it was like, oh yeah, I forgot about that. Uh-huh. That's right. Got that little thing, it's funny. I've actually, when I was 26, I took I was out cutting trees with chainsaws out here on our property, and we're on a 7-acre ranch.
Uh-huh.
And I took a chainsaw in the face, and I had the right side of my jaw. It didn't go across my whole right side of my cheek. Came very close, but it cut. I threw my jaw out and took the brunt of it when the saw kicked at me. And my father had disconnected the safety on it. Thank God. Right. But I took the brunt of it in the upper jaw, and so I had plastic surgery. I was in for 2.5 hours of surgery, reconstructing the muscles and putting everything back where it belonged. And I've always wondered about that. It's like in the next life, because I do have a pretty interesting scar there. It's people don't see it right off the bat. They did a great job, but then if you really look, you'll see. And I've always thought that would be interesting to see what happens in the next life if that life would have that, like tell if I go through it, that it might be 100, 200 years. But, I don't know. But,
there is a therapy called past life regression therapy where, again, when we were working on the show, because of you had your fear of swords or just you got antsy around them or are apprehensive, and until you had the regression and then you said you've lost your fear, people can do the past life regression therapy to take them back and to see why, to see why you're fearful. For example, I've never had a past life regression. I would like to do that sometime, but I am afraid of water. I don't swim. I'm afraid of water. I feel drowning. And I am heights, certain types of heights. Now, I can go in an airplane. I used to climb trees when I was a kid. I would climb, but there are certain types of heights that I don't like. And I also don't like dark, damp places like basements and caves. I don't like those. And I just get very fearful. So I would be interested to know, is there something in some of my past lives that would create that fear? I don't know.
I think it's funny because I was sort of driven to do it. Once I found out the option was open to me, I leapt at the chance. It was something that just presented itself, one day. I used to hang out at a place called Ronnie's Holistic Health. It was a real formative little metaphysical store for me right down the road. It used to be there, and a great place that taught me a lot about life. And to Panda, wherever you are out there, Panda, I love you, because you really opened the doors for me. Panda brought a lot of people in and just created all these opportunities. And here came this one lady who did this. And when I went in and had it, it really was an eye-opener for me. I'd really highly recommend it to you. And to anybody out there, find it, a reputable, good, person that does this kind of work with good training. And get a cassette tape, or MP3 recording of it. It's well worth doing. And for you, I sketched a few things just reading you. My instinct with you is that you were in some sort of a ship.
Really?
Just the instinct is that you were like I wrote down officer, ship, and you were in some sort of ocean thing, and the ship sank, and you were actually trapped inside.
That just gave me chills too, because I don't like being in water. I mean, I love water. I absolutely love the ocean. That's my very favorite place. I love the ocean. But getting in the water, don't like to do that. I don't like for my feet not to touch the bottom, like in a pool or anything. And even when I was a child, I took swimming lessons. And I was swimming and swimming and swimming and doing just fine. I was six and swimming, and I got to the deep end. And this is with an instructor. For the life of me, I do not know why. I stopped in the middle of the deep water as it was going down, and I thought I was drowning. And from that time on, I just, and maybe that's why, you know. So that's very interesting, John.
Yeah, it just kind of pops in there with me, and that's what I see. There's also, I sketched some other things with you. For the last 3 days, I've had a spirit named Marge bugging the hell out of me, and I'm trying to find the person Marge belongs to, and I'm not sure if you know a Marge, but I also got a Daryl or a Daniel just tied to you, like a DA name tied to you, and I don't know if that's a living person or somebody from your past, but these two, you know, the Marge name, I'm actually farming to find whose Marge this is. Because I don't know. I'm completely lost.
I know Marge, but she's still alive.
There's something. Somebody's talking about this Marge, and Marge is like a real, real important thing right now for somebody. Or Marge on the other side is coming through, but I'm getting Marge, and it's all over the place. Now, who is Marge to you?
Marge is a lady that, I mean, she's still alive, but she's probably about maybe 8 or 9 or 10 years older than I am, because I knew her when I was a little girl, young girl. But, I mean, I've seen her since. I mean, she's, but I don't know another Marge. Now, I do have two aunts that were named Margaret. They both passed on. One was my mother's sister and one was my father's sister. Daniel...
Yeah, it's a DA name. It could be a Daryl, a Daniel, but it's a DA and
my father's first name was David. My father's first name was David, but I don't.
Yeah, I'm getting L. It's definitely got an L. So I don't think it's David, but I do think it. Yeah, it's in that, and I felt very strongly that person. It's a male energy, and that person is around you. So, you know, you may want to talk a little bit with, Billy about it. But this MAR, I would just ask about with the family on the Margarets, if either of them had a nickname, Marge. And as far as the other one that's alive, have you talked to her recently?
No, I haven't.
You may want to just find out maybe something important going on. So I'm just saying, you know, because all I know is I've been tapped out. And this was probably all known was going to happen ahead of time. And, and Dominica's telling me, oh, really? Dom is saying her old nickname was Margie. Oh, great. So I'm hitting the Marges tonight. But just check to see if there may be something that you need to contact her. You know, there may be a life event happening or something like that. So, all I know is I'm reaching out, trying to. It's been bugging me. I was on the way down to USS Hornet, driving down, Saturday morning, and I'm like, going, what in the hell am I getting this Marge person? It was like, just like in my head, you know,
Marge.
So I just get the feeling, and I thought, well, it's going to have something to do with the show, and then once I thought that, it stopped, and I knew I had, I kind of made the statement out loud. Okay, I'll say something about it on the show. So here I am, and
okay,
here
I'll
you
ask
are.
Billy about it then. Okay.
Yeah, and I don't
and
think it's
Daniel?
Really scary. Yeah, it's a D and it ends with an L, and it's a male energy that seems to be associating with you, and in a good way. I don't think it's bad, but I would just say that I'm getting like Daryl Daniel. It's that kind of a name, and he's. He's presenting as older, an older male, very very formal, nice guy.
Oh,
and he seems to, he knows you.
Oh, okay.
So,
I'll talk to him.
You,
all right.
You do you have family around who still remembers some of the older family history, or have you got any?
Most of my relatives have. I'm a lot younger. I have two older brothers, but... I'm a lot younger than they are. I'm trying to think of anybody, Daniel or Daryl.
Yeah, or a friend. It could even be a friend, but I'm just getting this friend. Okay. It's like, it's definitely a D. I'll say that much, but I keep getting L. I'm sticking to it. So I'm going to stick
okay,
to my
Okay, well, definitely a D and an L. Okay.
Yep, yep. And it's a male energy. So check into it. You know, ask Billy maybe what this could be, because I'm actually still in training. So I'm still doing my my hard work with the meditation. And it's, you know, and you brought that up earlier in the show, is that, you know, meditation work. A lot of people don't really, you know, see meditation as like a necessary aspect of this business. But when you do, you know, mediumship work and psychic work, meditation is your, that's your barbells. That's what you work out with. It's literally, it's literally how you develop the circuitry to do this work. And literally this is circuitry. This is a whole part, a physical part of the brain that's evolved to do these things. And when we work on that, we can improve it, you know. And some people have more of that circuitry innately, you know, just because of genetics. But we all have that, you know. And it's funny with you, I really get this distinction that you have that, you talked about that inner knowing thing going on. And that kind of set alarm bells with me, because when you said that, there's different types of you know, mediumship and psychic tendencies that people have, and some are based on this, you know, kinesthetic sense, this feeling, you know, but it's, you're seeing through your feeling, and you were, you were talking about that, and, you know, having that inner knowing, and it's, you don't know how you know, you just know, it's just there, and that, you know, that's the way it's going to be. So you have those aspects developing as a result of what you're doing, you know, with this. And you know, my advice is just keep it up. For sure. It is developing with you, and you're going to be seeing more of it.
Well, I will tell you this, that Billy, she did do a reading for me. I asked her to do a reading. It was back in April, because I turned 57 in June. My birthday was June the 23rd, and I turned 57. And I told her, I said, since I turned about 50 or 52, every time I would think of my birthday, a 5 and a 7 would pop in my head. And so as I was approaching my 57th birthday, and I would ask, I would think, am I going to die? What's going to happen? And I asked Billy, I said, this is bothering me. Is something bad going to happen when I turn 57? Is something going to happen to my family, to my children? What's going to happen? And so she did a reading and on me, and she said that 5 and 7, of course, are 12, but she said that I was I would be accelerating, that whatever that I will be learning, and this is what I thought, I'd already felt that, but that is what I'm going to be accelerating from age 57 on, that this is going to be a really beginning year for me, and it will accelerate, and then it will slow accelerate, because we have to, you know, it's all new and learning faster. And there have been some other things that have happened too, and one day it just all kind of clicked, but that's what she's told me. So anyway, and things are happening. I have been working in meditation. I've been working on my chakras, because for years I thought chakras honestly were kind of weird, you know, but I've learned that no, that's really true. And so, and she can help with chakras also. She balances chakras. She does guided meditations. She does work with God's white light, which is protection. She's always talking about protection. Crystal therapy, working with angels and spirit guides, prayer techniques, daily affirmations, past life regression. She does all kinds of things, as well as readings on, you know, everyday life, on all kinds of things. And but, yeah, she did that. And, in fact, I hit her with a lot of stuff that day. She had to do some channeling. She had to do something. She said, man, she said, and I asked her, I said, Billy, have we ever been, because I didn't understand, we were doing this in 30 minutes and she was having to do all this stuff. She could have told me no, but she did it anyway. And I said, have we ever been together before in a past life? And she said, well, let me see. And again, I didn't understand all the process that it takes, and this should have been a longer time. She said, I see us. She said, yeah. She said, I see us as two little girls, two little blonde-headed girls, in France, playing in a house, and it's like a big house, didn't know if it was a mansion, didn't know if we were friends, if we were neighbors, if we were cousins, but we were little girls, you know, about 7 or 8, running around playing in this big house in France. And I thought, okay, but she couldn't, you know, didn't go in any more detail, but back in the 1800s, I think. So,
I got to interrupt you for just a second. I wrote down France.
Really?
I did.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I'm not thinking about France. I'm writing it down.
Well, I like France. I've never been there, but I like France. But, yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, and she saw columns, and it was like, didn't know if it was like a mansion, or I didn't know if we were part of nobility, or if it was, you know, what it was. But we were little girls, and it wasn't like in a poor area. I mean, it was, we were well-dressed, and we were playing. And so anyway, I just thought, well, that's interesting. But and there's just so much there, you know, and energy. You were talking about meditation, and our brains, of course, we're working with human brains, but our brains produce electricity, you know, electrical charges. Mm-hmm. When I was teaching, we did some work with brain and working with our students. We were taught about brain-compatible learning, and one of the men that came that taught us about all this is that you can actually take a helmet, it's a special helmet, and you put it on someone's head, and it has different electrodes, sensors, and it picks up on the screen where you can actually see the firings of when the, you know, the neurons are firing, and
sure.
And all these are electrical charges. And so I've learned that, of course, spirit is vibrational, is energy. And where we are on Earth, it is denser and it is slower vibration. And so you have to raise those vibrations. The higher the vibrations, the more you'll be able to be attuned into what's taking place. And that's what you were saying, that some people have had these connections better than others. I think we all have psychic ability. I really think that, you know, like animals, you know, animals can sense when you're sad or when you're sick or when you need help or whatever, and your pets are in attuned to you. And I remember reading an article many, 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 many years ago. I was talking to my students when we were learning about animal behavior, and I think it was in Reader's Digest many, many years ago, about instinct. And that humans, as we come into the science age and the age of reason and the scientific time, we've kind of moved away from really listening to our instinct and tuning into those feelings. I think we're moving in a time now of consciousness to where people are becoming more attuned, going back and listening to those tuitions and those gut feelings. I really think that. What do you think? What's your thought on that?
I agree with that. I mean, you know, there's so many people that are becoming aware that this stuff is the real deal. And there's, you know, just, you know, I mean, I'm in the paranormal aspect, you know, in one part of my world, but the other has been this whole separate inner development, you know, angle, and really seeing it, you know, really bear results quickly. And mm-hmm. it's just paying attention to yourself and paying attention to what's going on with you, and then finding out that when you connect to other people and you begin doing, you know, exchanging knowledge, exchanging techniques, ideas, and then using, you know, the mediums that we have available to us, which the web is an absolute miracle. I mean, you know, the ability to connect people from all over the world and find mm-hmm. out that a lot of people are thinking the same things and working on the same things, and then finding out that cultures, you know, across the world all knew about chakras for thousands of years ago and knew about all the different things. And, mm-hmm. and you know, and you were talking about, you know, that, you know, chakras are weird. And I always thought it was strange with the circular spiral mm-hmm. pattern. And here you see in cave drawings, spiral patterns everywhere. Mm-hmm. And these people were aware that this stuff was mm-hmm. real, that these happen, and that the you know, the chakras are the point where, you know, spirit actually connects into the body, and there's, you know, and you see the direct analogs in the human body, the endocrine system, mm-hmm. and all the way places that that's where the spirit connects up, and that's how you wear the suit mm-hmm. that you do. You walk around, and you're the person you are. And it's mm-hmm. to me, it's just it's miraculous. And you know, what's really interesting to me, just to, from you know, to mix in the paranormal side of it, is you know, I hunt ghosts, and I go out. You know, I was just on USS Hornet, and I interact with spirits out there. Out in the field and deal with the ones that are basically are staying around for whatever reason. And to compensate for our lack of vibration, we have electronic devices that can do that for us now. We can escape the prison that is our, that is kind of bound us back in some ways by using some of these tools. They don't replace what we can do with spirit. And, you know, a good medium is way better than any special recorder. But, you know, the ability to give you access to things and actually get physical evidence is a whole nother, you know, ball game. And we're finally hitting that, and it's really revolutionized everything. So I think the whole picture is that it's all kind of jumbling together, and what's happening is it's feeding back on itself. And it's just making the worlds more and more connected. And I really believe we'll hit a point where, you know, in our evolution, because we're still evolving as a species, that we will evolve into very high-level beings that, you know, in this density that we're in, that will still be able to connect to the other side more directly. Mm-hmm. And it will be the norm, not the exception, that people have this. You know, so, you know, we're the pioneers. We're the ones that are, you know, really embracing this and saying, you know, let's get past all the mysticism. Let's get past all the crap. Let's go into, okay, how do I use this? What do I do with it? And Kathy is asking, do you feel like extending for a little bit? Because we've got 8 minutes, and if you are up for another 30 minutes, because it's fascinating talking with you. You're a very good guest. And,
I don't mind. So, I don't mind. I don't have to get up early tomorrow. I'm retired.
Okay. Kathy?
Oh, because I'm where I am right here, it's 1221 where I am. I live in Georgia is where I am, and I'm in the South. So you're in California, right?
Yep.
I'm fine. I'm a night person. I'm fine. Sure. Glad to.
I'll tell you what. Kathy, go ahead and extend. And then I'll tell you what. We'll give everybody a short break as soon as, let's see what we got, 9:22. So at 9:30, why don't we just take a short, you know, couple-minute break and give everybody a little bathroom time, you know, because that happens.
Like the Super Bowl.
And, especially for the guests. And for everybody, just look for that coming. But now, what was I saying? Because I just lost track when that pop up happened there.
We're talking about consciousness and about the people are becoming more in tune, and will the electronic devices and becoming more connected and
it really is becoming a point where. You know, we're not going to. I think we're almost using the web as a crutch, but it's a really great crutch because it's given us the ability to do these things. But you know, a lot of the really talented, you know, mediums, you know, for example, in Australia, you know, these people lived in the Aborigines, you know, lived in dream time. And there's story after story I've read about people who've gone into the outback and they're with one tribe and there's no telephones, there's nothing. You know, these people don't have technology like we do.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, there would be, and this person would visit a tribe and then they'd send him on to the next, the next tribe, you know, 100 miles away, and there was no way anybody could beat them. You know, there were no roads and these guys were driving trucks or riding, you know, horses or whatever. And get to the other tribe, and they were already prepared and waiting for them, you know, saying, oh, yeah, we know about you. Or how did you know about me?
Wow.
Or, you know, we heard through, you know, through the same time that you were coming, and, you know, here's who told us, and we know all about that, blah, blah, blah. And they had it all down. It was, like, detailed stuff, and it was accurate. And it's like, how do you guys do that? And you read some, I'm not sure what the series was, but there was this really neat story of this woman who actually went to live with them, and dressed as they did, and they actually walked around naked out there. And she, and I don't remember the title for the life of me, and somebody please out there in the audience who's read this, but she, if you have the title, pop it out there, but, she actually walked with them, and they immersed her in all their ways, and she, at one point, she actually was instructed by the tribe to lead them to water and to food. And she was freaking out because how could she, this white woman who never did anything in her life, and this is the weirdest thing she's ever done, and she's living with them, and she's dirty and tired, and her feet are all crusty now from walking without shoes. And she has toughened up, you know, after many weeks in the outback. And she suddenly she saw in her mind which direction to go, and she ended up taking them out into the desert, and she kept leaving and changing course, and she was about to lose heart when she saw in her mind's eye this lizard walking through this canyon area and right in front of water, you know, which they were all desperate for water. And she gets, you know, she takes them up over this rise, and here it is. The exact thing she saw in her mind, this lizard was waiting, this big lizard, which was enough to feed the whole tribe, and they killed it and ate it. And here was all the water they needed, right there.
My goodness.
Yeah, and it's just like, that's how this works. And I really think that it will, you know, the rest of us we're kind of late to the party, but we're coming along, you know. You know, we're just taking the long route with the technology to get there, you know. But our ability to transform ourselves, our ability to take ourselves forward as a collective species is really progressing at an amazing rate. Some people say that we're going to evolve technically, you know, where we'll become part robot and things like that. I don't know if I like that. I think that
That sounds crazy. I mean, I don't want to be part of a machine, but I think the human brain, well, of course, we only use just a portion of our brains anyway. But, and even Einstein used, what, only 10% or what was it calculated? It was less than 20, but, you know, there is still so much there. And the human brain, no one can ever build a machine that can do the capability of the human body. I mean, you can get close, but the human body, I mean, look at it. It repairs itself. And you look at the warfare inside of the cells. When you look at the cells and in the bloodstream, when you've got the white blood cells and the T cells, all this, you know, it's phenomenal. And, it's just amazing. And I remember what we were talking about a while ago was evolving. That's what you were talking about, was evolving.
Yeah.
And I wrote down some words, too, while you were talking just a few minutes ago, sacred geometry. And when you mentioned the circles and the spirals and all the different shapes, I've been reading about sacred geometry. And I want to bring up, if you don't mind, on Billy's next show is on crop circles. And so that's going to be a very interesting show when you talk about, evolving, or and when you talk, you know, when we talk about space and talk about what's out there. Her next show is going to be on crop circles, and so I've been reading a lot about sacred geometry just on my own too, but about all of this and from what you've been talking about, it all just kind of, my mind is just kind of going crazy. It fits in with everything that I've been learning about and been thinking about. So anyway, that's just what my comments on what you were talking about there. But yeah, I think, I do think we're moving into new, everybody talks about 2012, and I've been doing some more reading about that and the Native American prophecy I do think we're moving into a different time. And when you, and also with the earth, you know, they're talking about the earth, the poles are changing, you know, the process of changing. They have, the poles have changed. They have on the earth floor and the crust, the magma that comes out of the mid-ocean ridges, they have those records of where the Earth's poles have changed. The North Pole becomes the South Pole becomes the North Pole. And, I think we're approaching that because that record is in the ocean floor where the Earth's crust comes out. So I was an earth science teacher, too, for many years. So,
and I have a lot
again,
to talk about.
Oh, yeah. Again, I cannot separate science from spirituality. It all comes together and it makes sense to me. My students would say, well, Ms. Harris, what about the dinosaurs? They weren't, you know, they're not listed in what we read, what we learn in the Bible. And I said, well, but they were here. You know, they were on the Earth for over 200 million years. And what happened? You know, what happened if they just all of a sudden, well, of course, they think that an asteroid hit the Earth down the Yucatan Peninsula, and that caused, you know, everything to happen. Also, the formation of the solar system, where you have the moon. They think that, that a planet hit the moon, or that something hit or hit the Earth to gouge out that hole that eventually, as the solar system was forming, that the moon formed. You know, so anyway, I could go on for a long time. I'm sorry.
Oh, no problem. I'll tell you what, let's go ahead and take that break, and we're going to take right up with that because, you know, you mentioned crop circles in there. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, some of these other things that you're mentioning, you know, the solar system and all of that. And, because, you know, I'm an amateur astronomer, so we've got some interesting things to talk about. So if you want to hold on a second and take a couple of minutes, we'll go ahead and play one of our theme songs here. Have
okay.
about three and a half minutes or so, and then we'll just continue on, okay?
All right,
Anna. Okay, with that, everybody, go ahead and take a break. We'll be right back. This is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio, and we're going to, if I can see, I'm going to grab the mic here, and I'm looking for the song that I need here, guys. Here we go. We're going to play a little Ghost Riders in the Sky, and we'll be right back as soon as that's over with. Thank you. helpful. But Ghostwriters in the Sky, of course, me being a ghostwriter myself, Ghostwriter Paranormal Radio here, it's kind of our theme song. Actually, some of you don't know about that. Why did I pick a ghostwriter? I grew up with my grandfather, who was a guitar player, playing that music constantly at family events, and it's one of his favorite songs. And boy, it made an impression on me. And as I got older in life and got into this, it was kind of a natural pick. And given also, from the movie Top Gun, they referred to the flight Ghost Rider with Maverick and Goose, of course, flying in that. And I have that strong connection to the United States Navy. And, my own desire to be a pilot, which I could not be because of my heart problem and all those little few little things that kept me out of being a kick-ass fighter pilot, but I would have been real good at it. Anyway, I went into the defense industry and space and all that and had myself a great career, but I've never forgotten those boyhood dreams and those things. So this is Ghostwriter Paranormal. We're back, and I've got Anna here on the phone with us who stepped in and most capably filled the shoes of Cherokee Billy. And so, Anna, are you still with me?
Yes, but I'm not Cherokee Billy. I'm just her substitute. She is much better than me. So, but I'm enjoying being on the show with you. And
you're actually a very, very good interview. And I'd really recommend to you that you go on with this and be on other shows and come back to us again because you're very intelligent. You know what you're talking about. You're very well-rounded.
Well, thank you. I was a teacher for 26 years, so but I've always been interested, and I love to read, and just I'm at a time in my life. I am retired, that I can explore, and this is and because of meeting Billy and talking to her and learning from her, and working with her, and it's opened up a whole new world for me. But yeah, I do love science and I love space and thank you very much for the compliment. Thank you for having me here. I'm enjoying the conversation and learning from you also.
Yeah. Well, you brought up the crop circles and
mm-hmm.
you know, I've kept my eye on that subject for a long time, and there are a lot of passionate arguments on both sides of the equation, both from a skeptical view and then the believer view. And I've seen, you know, a lot of these are going to be fake.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to run, it's just like what, you were talking about earlier in some of the, with psychics, you know, some of them being, you know, not on level. And
mm-hmm.
so we do see some, quite a few of the circles are not going to be genuine. But there are that percentage that are the 10 to 20, 30% that just show up out of the blue in some poor guy's field, you know,
mm-hmm.
in either the United States or England or wherever, and they've been known about for centuries, where there's, oddly enough, UFO activity around these. And there seems to be some kind of message being given to us that we're just, and it seems to be mathematical symbols, you know, quite often,
mm-hmm.
you know, geometric shapes and things like that. What's your take on all of this?
Well, I'm going to tell you before I continue to answer your question is that if I can put this in for Billy, her show Tuesday night at 7 o'clock she's going to have a guest on. Her name is Suzanne Taylor, and she has put together a documentary on crop circles. It will be a fascinating show. I have seen the documentary. It's called What's on Earth? And I think it won the award at the EBE conference. It has to do with UFO. I don't know what it is. I don't have it in front of me. Last
uh-huh.
year. And it is a very well put together documentary. It addresses those issues that you've just talked about. And I would advise you to tune in to, if you can, to Billy's show Tuesday night, this coming Tuesday night at 7 Eastern Standard Time, or it will be archived, so you can listen to it there. But Suzanne's going to be on the whole hour, and it will be fascinating. It truly will be. And Billy, when she told me about it several weeks ago, she was so excited. And so we are looking forward to having the show because Billy is trying to she's bringing in a lot of different topics into her show. And I'm sure she would love to have you on the show too, John. I'm sure she would love to have you as a guest on her show.
And, I'll do it. No trouble
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I'm sure, you know, so just to give her the contact information, and I'm sure she would love to put you on the schedule. But, well, with crop circles, I've always been fascinated with them. I've done a lot of reading, and since she said, you know, about the guest, and, of course, I've been looking at sacred geometry and just learning it because it resonates with me, all the different patterns. You think about high in the Andes Mountains where you have the Nazca lines. You have you can't see them unless you're up above. And when you are up above, you see these giant figures of monkeys, of some monkey. There are some other, I think, I don't know if it's a spider, but they look like a landing strip. And again, and then you look in the Native Americans of the southwestern part of the United States, and the I was a social studies teacher too for many years, so I have a wealth of information in my head. But you have drawings, and even in also in Egypt. In Egypt, in the hieroglyphs, there are drawings referring to maybe beings or visitors from other places. Because when you look at our Earth, and you think about the placement of our Earth, of our solar system, of our sun, you know, we are in a galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy, that is made up of, I think it's like 100,000 light years across the it's been a while since I've taught it, but the distance, of course, a light year is the distance light travels in a year, and right. Light travels at 186,000 miles per second. But when you look at our Earth, and you look at our sun, and you look and realize that our sun is just a medium star, and it's about halfway through its life cycle. And it is, but yet it is our life. It is where our life comes from. It's the sun's energy. If you were to turn the sun off, we'd be in total darkness and black and cold. You know, so, but when you look at how tiny we really are, and you look up at the sky, or you go online and you look at the galaxies that when we use the Hubble telescope or when we use space probes and we look out into space and you can't see the end, all you see are other galaxies. Why are we so arrogant to think that we are the only ones in existence? You know, so when you look at the crop circles, yes, some are man-made and some have been admitted to, but if you can tune in, or you look online, if you get a chance to tune in to Billy's show or either his archive and hear Ms. Taylor, you will see on their evidence that there is scientific evidence that they have done studies, they collected the data, and you can see the differences in the shafts of the, you know, of the crops. It's usually in wheat or canola or some sort of you know, grain fields. The difference is in the structure, and they're trying to come up with some of it. Yes, some are man-made, but then there are others that are so intricate and that are so huge. I mean, several football fields in size. It really makes you wonder. If nothing else, it just gives you if you will have an open mind, it will give you another way of thinking that, you know, maybe, just maybe. And that's, you know, it's fascinating, the research that I've done. And because I've had the time to do the research. Billy has been busy doing readings and writing articles and, you know, scheduling radio. She's working, and she's constantly doing that, constantly working. She works all the time. But yet I've had the time to explore this, so I'll share things with her of things that I think that, you know, would be helpful. But it's really just fascinating. But you have to have now you can't believe everything you hear or believe everything you see and just take it at face value. You need to think, and you need to, you know, to try to explore on your own. But open up that mind. You know, be an open-minded skeptic. That's a term that Billy and I use. Be an open-minded skeptic. Don't accept everything just for face value, but you take what resonates with you. And I just find this fascinating because it is mathematical, and it is the geometric patterns. It's a language. Math is a language, as
absolutely.
Well as music. Music is a language, and music is mathematical. Anyway, I'm sorry. I'm excited about the subject. I'm passionate about it, so I'm talking too much.
No, you're not.
What do you have to say on this, John?
You're doing great. I mean, you know, it's funny to me because the graph circles repeatedly show mathematical tendencies. I mean, you keep seeing references in the ones that do appear to be genuine to the Mandelbrot mm-hmm. set. And you see the golden mean being represented in classic mm-hmm. classic shapes that we know when we plot these graphically that are recognizable patterns. It's like somebody is trying to get our attention. And, you know, now that they've got it, which they've got a lot of us, are looking at this going, okay, what does this mean? What are you trying to tell us? And, mm-hmm. you know, it is the universal language. So, you know, if you did have an alien race trying to speak to us or potentially the planet itself has an awareness that we don't understand yet, and it's trying to talk to us by whatever means and get our attention to saying, hey, you know, you're starting to tick me off.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
That's the kind of thing I'd like to find out. What's the next step with this? Because it's one thing to pull the chain and get our attention. The next step is, what does this mean? What do we do with this information? Can we think up some way to talk back to them?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're leaving clues all over the place. You brought up the grain, you know, how the grains are burning from the inside, and you know, they're showing that it's like a microwave energy. You know, I saw mm-hmm. that reference as that. And how the weaving patterns are so intricate. No one, you know, in an evening could do that. You know,
mm-hmm.
so there's another force at work that's just amazing, you know. So I really believe, you know, in being skeptical, you know, the scientific method is everything when you're trying to look at this. You have to go in
mm-hmm.
and say, okay, what is it not? You debunk first, and then when you throw all the logic, you know, the logic goes out the door after you've done everything you can. It's like you're left with, well, we got a mystery here, you know. Okay, now let's open
mm-hmm.
our minds to the imagination and see what we can come up with. But
mm-hmm.
Do you feel that this is like an alien type presence, or maybe you know, is it the planet itself that's aware of us and is trying to communicate back in some means?
I don't know personally. I believe that there are other life forces out there, that there are other beings out there. And I'm going to say, though, that I'm not, it's like I used to tell my kids, my students, I believe that they're there. I don't think I'm brave enough to meet one by myself, you know, but it was, I think, yeah, there has to be something else out there. I don't know if it's the Earth telling us. I don't think so. I really think it's a language. I think it's a message that is trying to come to us if we can interpret it. Now, I have found some YouTubes that seem to interpret some of them, and you look at it and it's like, how did you get that information? However, do you remember, you know, in Arecibo, there is the huge, I think it was about 1974, this huge...
Yeah.
It's constantly sending out messages, you know, to space. I think Carl Sagan came up with it, because I found a YouTube on this. Well, there, I found this one, and I sent it to Billy. But I found one that, a YouTube that shows a message that was found in a field. It's near, it's in England. And the reason I think a lot of them appear, and they appear all over the country, all over the world, not just in UK, but you think about Stonehenge. Stonehenge is a big mystery to me. But yet when you start looking at crop circles and you look at Stonehenge, you start to see a relationship. You know, because those stones weigh tons, literally weigh tons, that make up Stonehenge. And, you know, it's thousands of years old. But there, back to this message, they found a message, and it's not a circle. It appeared, oh man, in the 1990s. It was like an answer, almost to the day that message was originally broadcast or sent out into space. It's constantly being sent out. And
right.
they found a crop circle. It's not a circle, but it is a panel that is an answer to what was sent out, and it's been interpreted. And then about a year or so later, in that same field, or in that same area, maybe not the same field, there was another picture. It was like pixels of a picture of a face. And then, and it's in the square, but you see the little pixels in it, but it's in the, like, you know, it's in a crop, on a crop circle in a field. But then, about a year or so later, in that same field, not far from it, another message appeared. And it's written in with another picture of another face that was very different to the original one that appeared about a couple of years before. And I can send you a link to this YouTube, but it's there was a message in the second one that appeared, and that one was not very inviting to look at that picture. But there was a message, and it was written in a circle, and it's ASCII in that language, the computer language. It was a message written in that language in the circle, and they interviewed the guy who deciphered it. And it says to beware of bringers of false promises and gifts, that there's still good, and there was something else. But you look at it like, you know, it just opens up your mind. But that was definitely a message. That could not have been made by people. If you look at it, it cannot be made by people. And I think someone is trying to communicate with us. I really do. Beings that are out there.
I think it's there's been you were talking about Arecibo, which is the radio.
Puerto Rico, out of
Puerto Rico. And
yeah.
Arecibo is used in the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, or SETI program. And SETI has really undergone quite an evolution, because we've gone quite a ways now. There's actually, here in Northern California, in the extreme northeast quadrant of California, in a very remote valley, there are literally hundreds and hundreds of radio telescopes are being linked together in this valley that are, it's one of the more isolated places on Earth, actually, to the kind of work that they're needing to do, and yet it's reasonably near civilization that you can get people to it pretty easily. And these things are, you know, we are sending signals out, and whether we like it or not, intentionally or not, we've actually made quite a dent. You know, we've been doing radio signals for roughly 100, you know, maybe 120 years. So that means a sphere around, if you took the Earth at the center, you have 240 light years of signals that humanity has managed to create this sphere, 240 light years across in any direction from Earth being the center point, that we've made our presence known to somebody. And, you know, now that we know, you look at that, that's a huge amount of space and a lot of stars. And we already know space technology that we do, you know, have, and Hubble and all these other new space telescopes that are coming online, and new ground-based telescopes that can see other planets because of the new technologies that are available. We're aware that there are Earth-sized rocky planets by the trillions out there. And so, you know, it's obvious that we're in communication with, you know, other beings already. It's clear with the UFO visits, the things that have happened. It would be very narrow-minded to think that, you know, we're not getting messages somehow. And, you know, that's interesting to me. I hadn't heard about the ASCII message. I'll definitely go look up, you know, but it's not surprising, not in the least. And, you know, and the fact that we're so self-destructive as a species, it's kind of neat to see somebody out there trying to kind of, you know, tap us on the shoulder. You know, you guys are screwing up.
No. Yeah, it's like I look at it, but well, because you, I've always wondered, you know, like the Egyptians and the Mayas, and you hear about Atlantis, and all of the advances that they had. Well, you just look at the pyramids, how the pyramids were built, and how perfect they are, and you look at the Great Pyramids, and they line up with Orion's Belt. And,
right.
You know, because they were in with astrology, because, of course, looking at the flooding of the Nile, that was their livelihood. It, you know, Egypt is called the gift of the Nile because if it weren't for the Nile, Egypt would have never existed in the desert. But, so they had that calendar based on when the Nile floods. But yet you look at their astrology and I think it was Egypt, their book of medicine, and all of the medical records and all the medical ways of doing surgery, all of that was used in Europe for many years, and that came from Egypt because of all the research that they did. And then in the Incas, there have been, I think it's Incas, is where they would have found where they did brain surgery. You know, we're talking about, you know, where did they get this information? And all of this is connected. I think it's all connected. And so I'm wondering, you know, I know this may sound really weird, but I'm wondering, well maybe, you know, maybe there was a, you know, people or beings from another planet came, and maybe they left some people here to, you know, start another, you know, planet or whatever, whether it's experiment or whatever, and now they come back and say, oh, the children are awake now. We need to see what they're doing. What are they doing to the planet? But I don't know. I just think the possibilities are endless, and I think we do have to have an open mind, and I think it's something that we really can't sweep away and say, oh, it's just, you know, kids playing a prank. Yeah, some of them are pranks, but some of them are so intricate. It's like, hey, we need to listen. We need to, you know, watch and listen. And again, I encourage you to tune in with Billy at their show. You mentioned about UFOs. She is going to, on one of her shows, she's got a UFO abductee that's going to be on. And,
right.
You know, so she's, her show is The Sacred Path. For those of you listening, it's called The Sacred Path. John, I hope you don't mind me putting the plug in. The Sacred Path.
We're up on minutes here, so
and,
go ahead.
And the sacred path is, there are many ways of going that path, and so I hope that you will, I'm sorry that Billy wasn't able to be here tonight. I have enjoyed talking with you, but, you know, I hope that you will have her on, and I know she's sorry that she was not able to be here, but please listen to her show,
and you have been a godsend and a fantastic guest. And, you know, I not only will I have Billy on, but I would like to have you on again. And, if you would stay on I'll tell you what, because when we go off stream, I'll talk with you some more. You know, we'll continue on, but I want to real quickly read out the names of everybody here. We have Brian, Frank is here, Fleur. Gerber Daisy, we have a couple of guests out there. Old Crow, a good friend. Open Wings with Hazel, Mother Jerry, Fire Witch, Hi Joy, Dominica Morey, Quinny. We have Kathy also dialed in as my co-host. Sasquatch Spirit, After Dark Radio, Veronica V, and Brian Watley. And so we're about 50 seconds out from losing stream, but I just wanted to say, you know, you are a great interview. And I've really enjoyed having you on, so...
Thank you, John. I've enjoyed talking with you and sharing. Thank you.
Yeah, you've got your subject matter down. You know, you're an ideal co-host for what she's doing, but on your own, standing on your own, don't be afraid of that. I mean, you came on and you know, mixed it up with it got me thinking about stuff, and I have just totally enjoyed it. We're going to lose stream in about 15 seconds, so we'll just keep going on. And for those of you who listen after the show, you'll hear what we talk about on the archive. So we'll keep going with that. So everybody, this is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio. We'll be back on Thursday with our soul stream, and I'll be doing some mediumship and online call-ins, things like that. And I'll be on Kathy's show, of course, at 8 o'clock with, you know, her and I do our chat. So we'll have fun. So see you guys next, and that's it. Now we're off stream, and it's just you and me.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah. But thank you for doing that. That was I just was like, I had a feeling that there was something not right, and I couldn't put my finger on it. And it's just me. I'm not feeling very good. And then sure enough, it was. But you've done slipstream is question. working with her in the past, just talking with her, she is so cool, what she does. And,
She is. And she just felt so badly. And I will tell you too, John, I think she had sent you some messages on Facebook trying to get in touch with you two or three times, I don't know, just to confirm, because she wasn't really sure if she was supposed to be on the show or not. Y'all had talked about it, but then
she did. She actually she sent me a thing back in August, and I said, "Oh yeah, you're confirmed already." And
okay.
She was actually kind of she got her wires crossed a little, and I said, "Oh no, you're on, and I've got you, and I reconfirmed her, and I said, here's your show link, here's everything you need," and she had it. So we were emailing back and forth, and she had it, and I was like, okay, I haven't heard from her, so I know we're good. And then today,
okay.
I was just feeling really strange. I was like going,
something's gonna happen.
I'm off or what? But
yeah.
Oh boy, So, but you stepped in and did great. The science background you have, and you studied a lot of the same stuff I have. It's interesting. It seems like we're peas in a pod.
Well, maybe we knew each other at one time. But like I said, I'm a product of I was born in 53, so I'm a product of the space, age. And you mentioned space industry. My father-in-law worked for RCA and did a lot of work with in defense as well as with space. In fact, he worked with those Apollo missions. And the department that he was over designed – as one of the things they designed were the helmets, the radio transmitters, and that the astronauts wore on the moon. So he was involved in a lot of the space work and space programs. So my love is space. It is. It's just the beauty of it and just the vastness of it. And that's what I always enjoyed teaching my students. And, it's just so what I found here – And really what I've been exploring with Billy's encouragement and just kind of pushed me is that everything makes so much sense, learning about quantum physics, learning about the, not that I understand quantum physics, but physics and the vibrations and there's just everything, I don't know, I'm just rattling right now, it just all makes sense. I can't express what I feel inside.
It's the feeling that when you find out that, when I found that there was a spiritual component to the universe that really was real and there were physical traces left of that that I could actually grab onto, from a scientific perspective, actually look at and examine, in the form of EVPs and my own spiritual experiences that I knew were not subjective. Mm-hmm. Then it became much more real to me. And then, it's funny. I mean, when my father had a stroke here 3 years ago, it went from being a novelty to it was actually life and death stuff because we were having, whenever my dad would start to go into seizure modes, we would have big pickups and spikes in the activity around our property. Now, we live on a haunted property already. We knew that going in. And the next thing, it was like we were having black shadows and things moving through the house and full-blown face-on encounters. And it was whenever my dad was sick, these things would happen. And so it was like a really strange thing, for me to see this, spike up so much. And that's what got me into the paranormal research and ultimately opening my mind to that. So I've been through the spike that you're going through now. Several years back, it really picked up for me. I'd already been psychic and knew I had these gifts, but I didn't really do much with it.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's just, oh my God, you don't even realize, what you're being prepared for. And so you, you've walked a similar path, and I just predict good things for you. I really do. I mean,
well, thank you.
You know that.
I've been doing more work with the angels, and I think that's where my work is going to be, is working with angels and of course other things too. But all of these things, and then what I've been reading about crop circles and some other things, it makes sense to me. You know, like I don't know. It's just, I know it sounds off the wall to some people, but it does. It all makes sense. I can't explain it to other people, but even as a little girl, a little child, I've had these ideas and these thoughts, and it all makes sense. It makes sense now. So
yeah.
At least it does to me, and that's what's important, I guess.
It really does. I mean, there are a lot of people vying for your attention and your trying to get your opinion changed to what they want it to be. And really, when it comes down to it, science is a wonderful tool. But, you know, when you have something you've experienced with your own, you know, your own judgment, when you're with your own life experiences, when you actually see it and feel it and taste it for yourself, that really plays in. And, you know, that's why it's funny. I've gone from outer space to inner space and then back out again. And it's all happening at the same time, and I'm just as fascinated now at 51 years old than I've, you know, more so than I've ever been with all of this. And I find it to be the most enlightening thing, and to have spirits actually working with us, you know, which is really a surprise to me. That was the part that really got to me, was when I was doing the paranormal research, and then I got into this ITC work, and I started ending up talking with spirits and helping people who'd lost family members and who'd had crime, you know, criminal things happen. And, you know, one of them was on in the chat room who was just had a murder that I helped, you know, work on. And it was not so much the police, but the family was looking for information, and I found relevant stuff. And EVP, I did ITC work, which really brought some things through. It's just, to me, it's just stunning that our technology has progressed to the point where we're able to do these things that help people the way it does, you know, where we can do ITC, you know, we can bring spirits through, and they can speak in their own words, and we can hear them. And we've got tools. And then the mediumship stuff, which is really great, too. I mean, you know, you mix it all together, and it's just potent as hell. But it proves that the ancients were not wrong. You know, they were, you know, they may have been lacking in a few tools, but they were exquisitely sophisticated in their understanding of the universe. And we're dumb to treat them like they were, you know, not on the ball. They were on the ball. They knew what was going on a long time ago. It's just now we're finally getting a few extra tools ourselves to say, oh, yeah. You know, and pull our heads out of it and start to grow up, you know, as a race. And I hope we do grow up. I hope we do get past some of the nutty things we do, you know.
Oh, yeah. But, me too. I was just thinking about what you were saying. I think we are in a time when we are our consciousness is evolving, and more people are turning to spirit, and I think you can be, and it's the difference between religion and spirituality. They come together, but just because someone is religious doesn't necessarily mean they're spiritual. Do you know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
It's, you know, I look at it as, like, we're children. And I guess to spirit, we are children. We're learning. We're children. And everything had to be concrete. You know, like when you're teaching a little child how to do something, everything has to be hands-on, concrete. They have to be able to see it and touch it and feel it and hear it. And, you know, have those five senses. I think we're eventually going to be moving for those people who can, and there will be some who will still have to be the concrete. We're going to be moving into using our sixth sense, or our senses, our extrasensory you know, using, depending on our feelings and our people can see. Now, like Billy says, she can see. She sees like visions. She can see visions. And she can, you know, she sees angels and she sees, she lived in a haunted house once. And, you know, she loved it. She loved being around all those other spirits. It scared one of her friends to death, but, and I'm not that brave, but she said she felt comforted. She was fine. And, you know, she's had some really unique experiences and helped so many people and just all the things she's done. And I don't know if she told you about how she was able to go to spirit the first time her dad was in a coma. And she was able to astral travel, which blew my mind, over to him and take his spirit and take it into spirit. And she waited, and his old army captain, he was in World War II, her dad was, his old army captain actually met him, greeted him, and took him into some place, and they were laughing and talking. She waited outside, and then when her dad was done, he came out, she brought him back. And then he died the next day because he had been afraid of dying, and he passed on the next day.
And it was to comfort him. He was hanging on because he didn't want to go, and then, you know, they assured him he was going to mm-hmm. be fine. It's a real common thing. That's actually very common. I actually had the great experience of having somebody I really cared about who was not a family member of mine, but might as well have been, and I really cared about her. And I was the second person, you know, second to the last person she ever spoke with, you know, in any capacity. And mm-hmm. she was actually comatose when she didn't even speak to me per se, but I was aware she was aware of me. And I went into her, and she was dying of cancer, and I said, look, you know, you're not going to get out of this. You know, you've got to make the ride. And the way to deal with it is your husband is here. He is waiting for you. He's just standing there. All you have to do is just, you know, take him by the hand and let him take you out of this. And you will be young again. Everything, you'll be beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Before, everything will be fine. You know, you're going to go through a period of adjustment and just go with it. And, you know, don't wait around here for the rest of us, because this is, you know, this is not good for you, and you need to get out. And her son came in to see her that night, and he was the last person with her. And the next morning she was gone. She died in the evening, and it was just, to me it was a godsend, you know, that she, you know, that happened. But that's just so common, you know, that they do need that reassurance. And there are mediums, and there are people walking around. I did this before I was aware of my other stuff that I do. I just knew. And it's funny, I've been repeatedly thrust into these death situations where there are people dying. And it's like they got hold of me, and the next thing I know, I'm spouting all this stuff. I don't even know what the hell I'm saying, but it's all accurate, and it's what people need to hear at the moment. And I have of mine in 2003, same thing happened, but it was much more intense. And, you know, he had mesothelioma, and it was just the family was falling apart, and I was thrust into the center by forces that were outside of me, and I stood up and did it. And it really made everybody feel better, including, you know, my Uncle Mike, who was the one passing. And it was just amazing. It was one of the most gratifying experiences I've ever been through. You know, and despite the pain and everything that was going on, and we were all horrified at what he was going through, but it really helped, you know. And I was by the immediate family, who I was not related to, and told, thanked for doing this, you know. And it was just, there was a lot of love in the room. It was one of the most loving, beautiful exits I've ever seen, you know. And what Billy does, you know, and eventually you will have parts in this, and I see that with you, is some of this. You know, you will have those experiences yourself, you know, and you'll be called in directions that you just won't believe. The thing is, just go with it, you know. Go with what happens. When it does happen, it's, wow. It leaves an indelible mark on you. You just start talking around going, whoa.
Well, it's healing. You know, it's the healing. What you were doing was healing to the family, and love is everything that I've read, and I already knew it anyway. Like I said, I was raised in the church, and I knew about death. I was not afraid of death because my parents never shielded me from it. You know, we would go to a funeral home or places, and I knew that that was a part of life, and I grew up on a farm, you know, so my little pets would die or whatever. And I've done that with my own girls, to, you know, not shielded them and tried to explain that it's just a part of life. You move on. But you need to give permission to people to go sometimes. Like, it's okay to go. It's okay to leave. I know when my mother died of lymphoma, and she was in a nursing home. She was actually hemorrhaging to death. But we were all around her, and my husband looked and said, what is she doing? And my mother would raise her hands, and she was very weak, but she would raise her hands and position like a child positions to be lifted. And I watched her, and she did it two or three times, and it got really late. It was like on into the wee morning hours, and people left, and my oldest brother and I were there, and he went on one side, and I went on the other side, and he talked to her. And then I talked to her, and we both told her goodbye because we didn't know how long it would be. And we left, and we were going to come back, but we both told her we loved her, and it was okay to go. So we walked out, and we looked back at her and left. And then we got a call that morning about 9 that she passed away. But, you know, when we went to see her after they got her body ready, we went to see her the next day after they had gotten her body prepared, she mm-hmm. had a little smile on her face. Now, my mother was ready to go. She had wanted to go. She was sick, and she wanted to go. But my mother was also a practical joker. She loved to make people happy. She welcomed anybody to come into her home. She just loved people. But she had a little smile on her face, and it wasn't just me that noticed it, but other people did. And she looked like she did when she was 79 when she died, but she looked like she did when she was her mid-50s. And I asked one of the people there that in the home that had fixed her, and that I knew him, I said, "Did you fix my mom's mouth like that?" He said, "No, that's the way it was." Well, I wondered if maybe her mother had been there, or because her mother died when my mom was 4. So my mother never knew her mom. And are the angels were there for her as she was released to go. Well, when Billy channeled my mother, and I'd never wanted to talk to her, but I just felt like that my mother wanted to talk to me. And sure enough, when Billy said, and Billy said, I don't know about you, but she said when she when she channels somebody, she's going through veils. It's like she's going through veils to find them. But she said my mom, she said it was like fireworks. She said it was like fireworks. It was like red and orange. It's fireworks. She said, "I don't understand this." But then she saw my mother sitting on a stage under a spotlight. And she was looking down at my mom, and when made the connection, she said, I said, "Mother, I felt like I needed to talk with you." And she said, "I don't know why I'm here, but I'm here." She said, I was asked to be here, that you needed to talk to me. And we went on and we talked for about 40 minutes. It didn't seem that long, but of course I got emotional because I was talking to my mom that had been dead for 15 years, and I knew it was mother because of things that we talked about. But I asked her, I said, "Who was there to meet you?" She said, "It was my mother." And it was my grandmother there that was there to take her. But all of that's just very comforting, you know, and I know there are a lot of people that don't believe that, but eventually they get to a place to where they can believe it, and it's just very comforting.
It's funny. It's funny. We were going through a really bad spate with Dad with the seizures, and I walked. And my mother was just beside herself, you know, trying to deal with everything that was going on. Mm-hmm. And my grandfather, a very, very well-known neurosurgeon, he did research neuropsychiatry, and it was he did brain research. Mm-hmm. He really knew his stuff. if any, and I reasoned out, I was thinking about it on the way home, and Mom was just, you know, lost in her own world, and we'd been through hell and back, and I went in, and there's a picture of my grandfather when he was a boy, and, you know, this is a picture from about 1919, you know, and here he is dressed up in this little outfit, and they lived in, you know, Napa, in the Napa area of California, my dad's side work. And so, you know, there's this picture in this old daguerreotype-type picture, but colorized, of him, and he looked just, you know, I looked just like him, you know. And here I am looking kind of at a copy of myself, and I'm going, I finally look at him, and I says, Grandpa, I realize you're on the other side. I realize you've never really had a reason to come back, but if there was ever a time we needed you, it's right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because we'd had spirits coming in, and we had guardians and stuff like that, but, you know, we needed, like, family. And mm-hmm. I had a few other family members that were coming through, but I needed somebody who knew medicine more mm-hmm. than anybody else. And within a week, I didn't tell my mother any of this, and it's so funny because she's walking along one day, and we had a pretty good handle on things, but dad was recovering from, you know, his little aspect seizure. And when it happens, you know, it's like they have to learn to walk all over again. There's always something lost that they have to struggle to come back. So anyway, things are going along, and Mom pulls me aside and says, I hate to break this to you. And she says, I'm starting to see your grandfather walking around. And I started to laugh, and she goes, what? What did you do? And I go, well, let me tell you what I did. And she started to laugh. She says, well, I'm glad you did it, because having him around, he would know everything to do. And I said, that's why I asked him here. And so that we need somebody who see the signs and deal with it and watch mm-hmm. over Dad and make sure we're good. And so ever since then, we've had this soul contract going on. And it's so cool because, I mean, whenever he has trouble, we start having shadows all over the place. And we start seeing things and stuff starts happening. And they mm-hmm. Here in my home, I'll start seeing them run right in front of me. I'll see a shadow run in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll go prepare notes with Mom, and I'll say, are you having it happen? She goes, yep. And I go, it's time to get him to the doctor. And then we get him in, and sure enough,
oh,
they'll
wow.
pop. And so
cool.
It turns out we're not the first to have this happen. So I'm telling other people, you know, hey, get the word out. This is how you do this, you mm-hmm. know. So that's help, you know. But to me, it's just the relevance of having them around. It's one thing to be, you know, spiritual and religious and mm-hmm. all that, and have it all distant from you. But this mm-hmm. is in your face as it gets. I mean, this is absolute faith, you know, mm-hmm. that is going to be there from the other side to help you. And they do,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's, I mean, that's, to me, that's the miracle of it all. I mean, that God would send them back and say, yeah, we'll do something about this. We'll get this squared away. And they come mm-hmm. through. Wow, you know.
I know, it's amazing. It is. It's there's just so much out there. And I hope I look like the story you're sharing with your about your family and your dad and your grandfather coming through to help. You know, it's just and then like what I shared with Norma and her son, Aaron, the one who was murdered, and the case that's going on, and just all the other, you know, things that you hear. It's just, I hope that more people will be able to open up and to learn and to know that, you know, there is so much more, and to start eradicating some of this fear that, you know, that the negativity, because we've got to raise the vibrations, and you do that with love, and that's what we have to do. And, you know, I think that's what we're going to be heading for. Sometimes it's called the Great Awakening, you know, the consciousness or what the terms, the different terms, I don't know, but I really think that we're headed in that direction. Then there will be some that will be able to come, and then others that it will take longer for them to understand, but I don't know. I think everything is going to be coming together. We're going to be moving into a different time, different age. I don't know. I know that sounds really weird, but I just think it's coming.
I think so too. I mean, you know, a lot of people look at 2012 and see a threat, and I don't necessarily see that. You know, there's a lot of really angry people out there, sure, but there's also a lot more of us who are not angry, who are getting along with each other. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I kind of weigh, you know, 7 billion people floating around on this planet, and 98.6 of them, percent of them are getting up every morning and going to work and trying to figure things out and keeping their minds open and doing the best they can. And that, to me, is the encouraging part. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, the bad news gets all the attention, but what about all the good news that goes untalked about?
Oh, I know, all the good, absolutely. It's, I'm sure you've heard of the Pay It Forward. Billy had a guest on a couple of weeks ago, well, the same time that she had Norma on. Norma was on the second half of the show, on Paying It Forward, of just, of doing good, you know, of doing good deeds, of doing deeds of intentional kindness, of, you know, something as small as just smiling at somebody. I mean, just if you smile at someone, you may have made that person's day, just, you know, a total stranger. Just showing some compassion and caring and love, yeah. You know. You know, that's so important. And spirit, and our loved ones can show us that because that's what is the constant, I think, in everything is love. And, you know, here on Earth, we have negativity to deal with, but because we're learning, we're here to learn. And if you don't learn, you come back and you do the lesson again until you get it right, until you learn it. But I'm beginning to read a book. Have you ever read Conversations with God? Have you ever read that book? Heard of that book?
Heard of it in passing.
There's three actually books. I've got it in one, but it's kind of interesting to read. It's to read, and it's a guy who actually had conversations with God and was writing. I think automated writing is what he was doing, but it's interesting to read that. And then I've started several different books. I'm reading another one. It's about Soul Contract of Robert Schwartz. Have you heard of him, Robert Schwartz?
I've heard about Soul Contracts.
Well, this is a book on Soul Contracts, and it's about that he has, just in a nutshell, and I've started several different books to read, but I'm a reader. I read all kinds of stuff. But he has actually had some mediums who can actually go, this is what his book, about the planning sessions, because we plan what we're going to do, what we're going to learn before we come. And he has worked with mediums who are able to actually go into the past and see what those plans were, of why you did it. Like, and he divides the book into different groups. Like, one of them is on disabilities, why this person, you know, it's why he's talking with somebody as to why you chose to have that disability in this life. What were you trying to learn from that? Anyway, it's interesting to look at it and read, and again, it makes sense to me. I don't discuss it with people very much because it makes sense to me. I don't know why.
There's just a lot of people don't look at the underlying structures of reality, and that's the part that I find probably the most maddening to me is the people who are lost in the illusion that reality is all there is, you know, and what they see is all there, and it really is underpinned by a greater, you know, there's greater meaning there. And when you do, you know, when you do find out, you know, that, hey, this reincarnation stuff is real, and the Bible even talks about it going way back, you know. If you look at some of the references in old biblical texts before the rewrites occurred, I think it's 565 AD, they had this council that redid everything and struck out parts that they didn't want to have the population understand. And it was, you know, they were trying to keep all the power for themselves. But, I mean, when you really get down to it, it's just amazing. I mean, the fact that reality is underpinned in ways that we can really be, we're just beginning to understand, and you know, as a mass culture, and it's not the privileged few that really get the access to that secret knowledge anymore. I think it's gonna snowball. You know, people are hitting a mass, kind of a mass, critical mass of people that are, you know, it's all feeding back on itself, and the knowledge is now starting to really, it's like a fire. And where that goes, I don't know, but I hope it's a good thing, and I really do think it's good. I just don't know what, you know, to me, that's the big mystery is what's next. What do we do with all this? You know?
That's true.
I just think that you hit it on the head. It's about love, you know, self-love, taking care of, not being guilty because you exist, which seems to affect a lot of people, but self-love. First, and then once you have that down, then love for other people, because now you're healthy, now you can really healthily express that to other people, and then do good works in the world. And I think that's, you know, it's like I don't make any money at the show. I pour many, many thousands of dollars into the equipment and the systems I do and the research I'm doing and all that. I'm not charging anything. Any of the stuff I do, and although down the road as my mediumship develops, I will be doing that for a living because I'll retire out. But you know, really when it comes down to it, I'm trying to make this world a better place. You know.
Uh-oh. Sorry. Some sort of ad came on.
What's that?
I don't know what happened. There. Are you still there?
Yeah, okay. I'm still here.
Okay. I don't know what happened. Ghost must be. Maybe Daniel's fooling my computer. I don't know.
I don't know. I was.
Anyway.
You know what? I know it's late, and you know, on that note, I'll tell you what. Why don't we call it a night? And I will definitely let Billy know that how much I really enjoyed having you on. You know, and get, you know, I will definitely want to have her on again, and you too. You know, it's. I think this is something we should keep up.
Well, I enjoyed the show when listened to it, you know, when Billy was on your show, and really enjoyed the interaction and what y'all were talking about. And the ghost hunting is just very interesting, although I will say that I don't think I'll go on a ghost hunting trip, but I'm not quite that brave. But I loved, and my girls, my daughters, I have one that's 24 and one that will be 22 in November, and when they were home, my oldest daughter is married now and lives in Alexandria, Virginia, and my youngest daughter is away at school, at college. But when they were home, we're always watching ghost hunters and paranormal shows, and we still do. You know, watch that, and it's just they do on their own and read books about it. It's just fascinating. It's interesting, and there's so much, and there's so much there, you know, and. I think all of it, well, all of it is connected. And I believe you mentioned critical mass. I believe there's going to come a time when things will come together. Like, you know, you mentioned the ancients. They understood, and then we kind of went in separate directions. And now I think we're going to be coming back together again, science and spirituality. I think it's going to come back together. And on the guest that Billy's having on Tuesday night with crop circles, that is one point that is brought out in the documentary, and probably that Ms. Taylor will talk about, is that point is made, that at one point science and spirituality separated, but now it seems to be it's going to be coming back together. You know, I look at the Institute of Noetic Sciences, too. I think that's very interesting. And the books, Dan Brown's latest book, you know, he wrote The Da Vinci Code, and he wrote Angels and Demons, and he wrote the other book. I forget what it is.
I can't remember.
Wisdom, something. Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, I you know, just, and all of that is creating interest, I think, in, but again, people have to be skeptical, and I think you really have to guard the information that you take, because there is a lot of stuff out there that is very bizarre, that is not true, that is false. So you have to be careful what you put your faith in and what you, and I think science plays a part there with the scientific method and the evidence. But you can't just take everything that you read or hear at face value. You still have to be discriminating. I really think so. I think that's what we have to do because we do have brains. We do have to think. And that's what I always tried to get across to my students when we were discussing different topics, you know, to think and explore for yourself. So anyway, so I've enjoyed talking with you, John, very much. I've enjoyed the show, and I hope Billy will feel better and that she can, you'll get together and she can be with you next time. She is an awesome lady. She really is. I learn something new about her all the time.
Well, if you have Facebook, just friend me and we'll stay in touch. And, I will definitely stay in touch with you and kind of monitor her condition too and give her a prayer and all that. But I really enjoyed having you on, and you are a fascinating interview all on your own. And, we'll definitely extend an invitation to you again. So. Thank you so much.
Thank you, John. I've enjoyed talking with you.
Okay.
And thanks for having me on the show. And again, I was filling in for Billy. So, she said, please let him know that I didn't want to just leave him in the cold. So that's why we were there. So.
She's quality stuff, and she put a quality first in. So you did great.
Well, thank you very much. I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Okay. Well, God bless you.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
Okay, good night.
Good night.
And with that, it's Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio for the archive edition now, signing off. And we will see you guys next Thursday. So good night, everybody, and take care. Bye now.